All right, so we're switching from Sugyas and Maseches Brachas to Sugyas and Maseches Shabbos because the Daf Yomi switched to Maseches Shabbos. I don't know if we're going to keep this going forever, you know, in terms of Erevin, we'll have to check it out, we'll have to see. But as long as I can, I'm not committing to necessarily doing a Sugya from that week's Dapim either. So I figured the first Sugya of Maseches Shabbos, since we spent the first 8 blot or so discussing the Melacha of Hotza'ah, to the point that probably a decent percentage of people who stuck with Daf Yomi through Brachos quit somewhere in the first week of Maseches Shabbos. So I thought at least we owe one shiur to the Melacha of Hotza'ah. Now, this shiur is based on 2 different pieces, both of which I photocopied and put in the back of the packets over here. One from Rav Asher Weiss in Minchas Asher, in the very first simon of Minchas Asher Maseches Shabbos, and the other from Rav Yonasan Sachs in his Sefer Chemdas Yamim in Simon Gimel of Chemdas Yamim. And essentially what I want to focus on is the idea that Tosos teaches us right at the very beginning of Shabbos and Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Tosos is bothered by the whole presentation of the Melacha of Hotza'ah in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah describes an Ani and a Balabayis. There's someone standing inside, there's someone standing outside, and it's Shtayim Shein Arba. There are 4 different permutations of Hotza'ah, of how it could be violated. The Gemara says really there's a lot more than that. So Tosos raises the issue, Teima L'ri, this is not in Yomar Makom, but he says, I might start Tarti, the Ani the Balabayas. Why do you have to tell me Hotza'ah from the Ani's perspective and Hotza'ah from the Balabayas' perspective? He says, after all, Ma Shaykh L'Kroso Shtayim. Why would you call that 2 different things? Mali Ani, Mali Ashir. Does it make a difference if it's an Ani or an Ashir that's cooking? Does it make a difference? Meaning, if you're doing the same Pu'ula, you're taking something from a Rosh Hashayachid to a Rosh Hashrabim, do I care? Why do I care if you're standing in the Rosh Hashayachid when you're doing that, or if you're standing in the Rosh Hashrabim when you're doing that? Either way, you're doing the malacha, you're doing the definition of the malacha. If you fry an egg in a Rosh Hashayachid, you fry an egg in a Rosh Hashrabim, it's bishul either way. So what difference does it make? Why would Hotza'ah be called 2 separate malachas? So this is where the Tosfos picks up on the Mar Makomos. I included most of the Mar Makomos in the outline itself, so we could just read it straight. So Tosfos writes in the first source over there, V'nira l'ri, de isrich lashmi'inon, mishum de hotza'ah melacha gruahi. And that's the key line. He says, it seems that the reason why we need to be told hotza'ah from 2 different perspectives is because hotza'ah is what we call melacha gruah, some type of low-level melacha, some type of primitive or lesser, less creative malacha. Because after all, the mali motzi mirishus yachal rishus rabim, mali motzi mirishus yachal rishus yachid. Is there any way to explain what you've even done when you do hotza'ah? What difference does it make if you take this sefer and you bring it from rishus yachal to rishus rabim, versus taking the sefer and bring it from one rishus yachal to another rishus yachid? Why, when I take it from one rishus yachal to another rishus yachid, is that totally mutter? That's completely fine. And I take it from rishus yachal to rishus rabim, it's the same sefer, it's not qualitatively different, nothing changed about it, and all of a sudden, that's chayiv. So hotza'ah is very difficult to put our finger on. It's very difficult to figure out what you've done creatively. If we assume the definition of malacha on Shabbos, of malacha Shabbos, is creative activity, so where in the world is the creative activity in hotza'ah? And Tosfos says, once we accept this concept of malacha gerua, it helps answer a lot of kashas that we would otherwise have about hotza'ah. First of all, it would help answer why it is that we need a pasuk to teach the malacha of hotza'ah, whereas we don't have psukim to teach any of the other malachos. The other malachos, how do we know? We know whatever was done in the Mishkan. So we look at what they did in the Mishkan, and we're able to formulate the Mishnayos, the Tanayim, we're able to formulate 39 malachos, 38 other malachos of Shabbos. But Hotza'ah, the Gemara needs to find psukim to teach us Hotza'ah, Hachnasa, to teach us that there's that it's asir. Why do I need a pasuk? Must be because it's a malacha gerua, that in some qualitative way it's different than the other malachos, so it needs to be reinforced with a pasuk. Tosfos also writes, this explains why it is that by other malachos, the toldos of the malacha don't have to actually have been done in the Mishkan. It's just the av malacha that had to have been done in the Mishkan, and then the toldos are madadamile. That which is similar to the av is called the tolda, but the tolda itself didn't have to be done in the Mishkan. By hotza'ah, the toldos also have to be done in the Mishkan, Tosfos writes. Where do we get that idea from? Why would that be true? Not where do we get it from, but why would that be true, that the toldos also have to be done in the Mishkan? So says Tosfos again, because Malacha Gerua. Since Hotza'a, every inclination that we have would be that Hotza'a is not a Malacha, we would, if we had to use our gut to determine whether Hotza'a is a Malacha, we would certainly side on the tzad that it's not a Malacha. So therefore, in order to give it the status of a Malacha, it needs a little extra reinforcement. So even toldos of Hotza'a need to be well sourced. That's the concept that Tosfos presents of Hotza'a. So I just want to present two questions, two halves to the shir that deal with these two questions. One question is, Tosfos and other Rishonim have a slightly different formulation of what doesn't make sense about Hotza'a. What is it that makes Hotza'a Malacha Gerua that it seems that it's an uncreative act? And if you don't pay careful attention, it sounds like they're all saying the same thing, but they're not. So if you take a look, for instance, the Or Zeruah gives a pretty parav lashon. The Or Zeruah in Shabbosim Pei Beis, Mishum du Malacha She'ina Chashuvahi, Dema Malacha Asa, Shotio Mirushus Meikara Chefetz, Vashtanami Chefetz. The Or Zeruah says it in the broadest possible way. What Malacha did you do at the end of the day? It was a book before you took it out, it's a book after you took it out. You didn't do anything with it. When you cook, there's something very different. It was a raw egg, now it's a cooked egg. You qualitatively changed the item. But by Hotza'a, it's the same thing. Before Hotza'a, after Hotza'a. However, in giving examples of what's putter and what's chayev by Hotza'a, of what's mutter and what's asr by Hotza'a, the Rishonim give slightly different examples, and it may be somewhat significant in the examples that they choose to draw a contrast. When you look at Tosos, Tosos says, Maishna Hotza'a mirushus yachid lirushus yachid, mehotza'a mirushus yachid lirushus rabin. Right? That's what we saw in Tosos. Tosos says, because after all, taking it from one rishus yachid to another rishus yachid should be no different. So Tosos is talking about the same object. This same object, no bigger, no smaller, that I take from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah is fine. Take from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah is not fine. That's what makes it a Malacha Gerua. When you look at how the Rashba formulates it, he says a little different. The Rashba, by the lowercase b over there, Al Karchav Yotza Malacha Gerua, Hotza has to be a Malacha Gerua. Deilu mipnei chafetzim mifani chafetzim kvedim mizavis lazavis kol hayom pater. V'imotzi davar katan mirushus l'rushus chayiv. Now he doesn't contrast it with carrying the same object in a rishus hayachid to another rishus hayachid. He contrasts it with schlepping furniture around your house all day. That if you take furniture and you schlep it around the house, big furniture, you schlep it around the house all day, you've done nothing. But you take this watch, the tiniest little object, and you bring it to rishus rabim, and now all of a sudden you're chayiv. That's a little different than the way Tosfos. Again, the Malacha they agree on. That's a Mishnah. But what they say differently is what they're trying to contrast it with. What's not a Malacha in terms of defining and proving that this Malacha is a Malacha Gerua? They have to contrast it with something that's not a Malacha. So why do Tosfos and the Rashba? Question number one: why do Tosfos and the Rashba choose different examples to contrast Hotza'a with? That's issue number one we're going to deal with. Yeah.
Isn't there an issue anyway, even according to the Rashba, what he seems to be saying is mutter? Isn't there an issue with that?
There's an issue with it in terms of Tirchi Yiseiran Shabbos and, you know, Zilzal Shabbos and things like that. But in terms of Malacha, there's no issue with it. So that's why it's the example that Rishonim use to show how Malacha, that's used, that's an example commonly used. I think even Mishnah Berurah mentions it also, that how Malacha has to be a creative act. And it's not how we would define Malacha. You would think that somebody schlepping furniture all day, heavy boxes or whatever, you would think that that should be called Malacha. That's work. He's schwitzing. That's real work. But we see that Malacha is not defined as work. That's the ultimate raya, that Malacha is not defined as work. Malacha is defined as creative activity. So it's definitely not Malacha, but it's something. It's certainly not appropriate to do on Shabbos, but it's definitely not Malacha. The second issue we're going to deal with is the following. Once we call Hotza'a Malacha Gerua, so great, we were able to answer so many questions once we called it Malacha Gerua. Why it needs Pesukim, why the Toldos need Pesukim, why we have to describe it from the Ani, the Balabais, fantastic. Right? We were able to answer all those questions. But once we have all those things, once we have all the Pesukim and everything's lined up already, and it makes it into the Mishnah and Daf Ayin Gimel where we have all the Lamitas Malachas of Shabbos, so everything's ready in place. Is there any nafkamina to the fact that Hutzah is a malacha grua? Does it make any difference in halacha now that we know that it's a malacha grua? Does that matter at all? Does that reflect itself in the halachas of Hutzah in any way? So what we're going to find through Rabbi Sachs and a little bit of one other source, I found a tshuva from the Eretz Tzvi, we're going to find three potential nafkaminas in Hilchas Yantif and six potential nafkaminas in Hilchas Shabbos. For Otzah being a malacha grua, potential nafkaminas. We'll see if they're actually nafkaminas, and certainly they're not nafkaminas that everybody agrees to. But just to crystallize it, well, it always helps to come up with nafkaminas. But let's first deal with the first half. Rav Asher Weiss suggests a very interesting chiddush. He suggests that Tosus and the Rashba are not randomly giving examples to contrast Hotza'a with. He says there is a very fundamental chakira that one needs to ask. There's a very fundamental question one needs to ask when describing the malacha of Hotza'a. What is the primary malacha? So we know, in order to do Hotza'a, there are three things that have to happen. You need an akira, you need a movement of the object from one rishus to another, and you need a hanacha. It has to be picked up, it's got to be moved, and it's got to be put down. Those are the three ingredients to Hotza'a. What's the primary ingredients? Meaning, how do we define which of those is the real act of Hotza'a, and which of those are just a tenai that's necessary in order to be chayiv for Hotza'a? And the way he formulates it is as follows. One could define Hotza'a as nesias masa v'ha'avarasa mimakom lamakom, that picking up an object and moving it. Moving an object is the definition of the malacha. The fact that you're placing it down in a different rishus, that's a tenai to be chayav for the malacha. But the movement of the object is the ikar malacha. Or one could say, no. The chiyav of hutzah, the primary act of hutzah, is ha'atakas ha'chefetz mirishus l'rishus v'shinoi rishuso. Making the object now in a different rishus. Not the act of moving it, but the fact that now it's nimtza in a different rishus. That now the object is somewhere where it wasn't before. So let's explain what these two tzadim a little more carefully. If you say the first tzad, that primarily the malacha is in carrying the object. It's just that the new rishus, the fact that it went from one rishus to another, is what defines it as a significant carrying. Carrying it within one place is not called significant. So says Rav Asher Weiss, the yisod malechas hotzah hu nesias masa makom lamakom. Really, hotzah is just carrying. It's the transportation of the object. We saw that in the Gemara already also in Shabbos, that since the Rishus Yachid is viewed as if the whole area is completely filled up, an entire Rishus Yachid is considered one makom. So you might have the largest house in the world that you're schlepping things from one end of the house to the other end of the house, but it's all considered one makom because the whole place is considered like it's filled up. And you're not actually transporting anything from one place to the next. That's why you're only going to be chayiv when you actually take it out. But etzem hamalacha, the real definition of the malacha is not the fact that the object is in another rishus. Ela be'etzem nesias hamasa mimakom lamakom. It's in the carrying and the transporting. It's not in what happened to the object that, look, now the object is somewhere else. And he says, based on that, we can explain why it is that Mavir Dal Ramos Bereshus HaRabim is a tolda of Hotza'a. What's the idea? That the yisod of the malacha of Mavir is moving an object from one makom to another makom. Every Dalet Amos is considered to be its own makom. So the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai is that you're mavir Dalet Amos b'rishus rabim, you're chayiv, because you've transported the object from one makom to another makom. The key is the transportation. And he thought that that would line up very nicely with the Rashba. What does the Rashba do? The Rashba says, what's the definition of Hotza'a? You could schlep things in your house back and forth all day, and it's not Hotza'a. But the second you schlep something, you carry something tiny outside, all of a sudden it becomes Hotza'a. What's the Rashba emphasizing? What have you done if you've schlep things in your house? You've transported them. And that's the definition of Hotza'a. That's the key of Hotza'a. So the Rashba tries to draw the contrast with that which is most similar to Hotza'a. When he wants to show how unusual the laws of Hatzah are, that you can't, there doesn't seem to be much logic to them, he comes up with the example that most closely resembles Hatzah. What most closely resembles Hatzah? Moving things, big things, heavy things, schlepping, doing a lot of movement. But Elamai, the Tanai of bringing it to a different Rishus wasn't fulfilled, maybe you're not going to be Chayiv. That's how the Rashba formulates it. As opposed to Tosfos. How does Tosfos formulate it? That if you carry something from a Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid, you're Pater, but Rishus HaYachid to Rishus Rabim, you're Chayiv. So says Rav Asher, it could be that Tosfos understands that the Ikar Malacha of Hotza is the changing of Rishuyos, is making the object now in a different rishus. Elamai, the only way to get it there to a different rishus is by being mavir, it is by carrying it. But the schlepping is not what defines the malacha. What defines the malacha is that the object is now in a different rishus. Dalar amos perishus harabim would have to be based on the fact that dalar amos shaladam havi kerishuso, that a person's dalar amos is considered his rishus. So when you bring it beyond the dalar amos, you've brought it to a different rishus. He says that's shita satosos. When Tosfos has to compare Hotzah to something, what is Hotzah, what's not Hotzah, again, he goes for that which most closely resembles the definition of the Malacha. And the Ikar definition of the Malacha is a change of Rishus. So how does a change of Rishus, how do you have a change of Rishus that doesn't involve a Malacha of Hotzah? One Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid. Tosfos doesn't talk about schlepping things in the same room all day long in your house, because that doesn't even resemble Hotzah. Hotzah means changing Rishus, that the object has changed Rishus. So that's why Tosfos comes up with such a case of Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaYachid not being Hotzah. That's how he illustrates his point. Now, l'may nafkamina between the understanding of the Rashba and the understanding of Tosfos. So I thought Rav Asher had a beautiful nafkamina. He says, what happens in the following case? Person lifts something up in a Rishus HaYachid. What defines a Rishus HaYachid? It's got walls all around, right? So he's in a Rishus HaYachid, there are walls all around. He picks something up, and then all of a sudden, the mechitzos fall down. You know, all the walls fall down. And now the place becomes a Rishus HaRabim. And he puts the object down. Did he violate Hotzah? He took it from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaRabim. So Rav Asher is quick to point out in parentheses, ba'ofen sha'akira haisa mishor rishona l'kach, kigon b'miskavin levatel rishus yachid la'asos rishus rabim. It has to be, in order to violate Hotzah, the akira has to be mishor rishona l'kach. We already discussed that also in the Gemara, that if you pick something up in a rishus hayachid with the intention to just move it to another corner of the rishus yachid, and then you change your mind and you bring it to rishus rabim, so you pater for that, because the akira wasn't for the intention of Hotzah. So let's say you knew tornado was coming now, so you pick it up right before the tornado, and you planned on putting it down in this spot, which will be Rishus HaRabim in 5 minutes. Right? So did you violate Hotzah? So it's a beautiful nafkamina. Why is it a beautiful nafkamina? According to the Rashba, what's the Ikar definition of Hotzah? The Ikar definition of Hotzah is moving something, is transporting something. Have you transported this? You haven't really transported anything. You've stayed in the same place. So it would turn out that would not be Hotzah at all. It's exactly where it was when it started. You haven't transported anything. But according to Tosfos, the Ikar definition of Hotzah is not in the transporting, is in Rishus. That this object, instead of being a Chayfetz that was Munach B'Rishus HaYachid, is now a Chayfetz Munach B'Rishus HaRabim. It's an object that is in Rishus HaRabim. And that most certainly happened when the walls fall down. So that would be the nafkamina. That would be a nafkamina. It's number three I have on the list over here of nafkaminas. That would be a nafkamina between the malacha of Hotzah, the way the Rashba defines it, and the malacha of Hotzah, the way Tosos defines it. He has another suggestion. Let's go with nafkamina number one that we have over here on the second page. Nafkamina number one. What if a person realizes, in between the Akira v'Anacha, he realizes what he was doing? The halacha is, in order to be chayav a korban, you need to be shogeg b'tchila and basof, right? You have to be shogeg the whole time. What if he picks up the object, and before he puts it down, he realizes, uh-oh, I'm carrying, and then he forgets again before he puts it down? So is that called that he has, that he's shogeg b'tchila and basof? Because he remembered somewhere in the middle. Right, so does that break it up? And do we say that he's going to be pater? He's not going to have to bring a carbon because he had a yediyah be'emtza. So the Meiri quotes two deis about this. First, the Meiri quotes a shita, not his own, that you're pater because it's just like a yediyah between ksivas shteyosios. The halacha from Melachah of Kosev, you have to write two letters in order to be chayiv for Kosev. What if a person, so if a person b'shogeg forgets that it's Shabbos and writes two letters, he has to bring a karban. Kosev al pinkaso, like we just saw in the daf reason, you got to write down in a notebook bisman as a that you know when Beis Hamikdash comes, I'm gonna bring a karban. Good, that's the malacha. What if a person forgets that it's Shabbos, writes one letter, then says, "Ooh, it's Shabbos. I better stop." And then mamash that second, something goes haywire in his brain or something. He forgets again that it's Shabbos, and he writes a second letter. So the halacha is over there that it's pater. Yesh yediya b'chatzi shir. That even if your yediya was only about a chatzi shir of a malacha, when you realize what you did, your realization was only about one letter, which is only a chatzi shir of the malacha, still it's because of that, you're going to be pater. So that seems to assume that the ikr malacha is the carrying of the object. The akira and the hanacha are a tenai that's necessary to be chayiv for the malacha. So it's the same as any yediyah b'chatzi shir. Let's contrast it with the Me'iri's own opinion. The Me'iri's own opinion is, even if yesh yediyah b'chatzi shir, in our case of Otzah, where you forgot, and you realize, and then forgot again, you're going to be chayiv a carbon, you're still going to be chayiv a carbon chatas. Why? Why is it different than kosev shtei osios? So says the Me'iri, She'ena ikur malacha v'lo maisa ikur achiyuv bahanacha hu v'akol nigra. I'm sorry. V'lo maisa ikur achiyuv bahanacha hu v'akol nigra achareha. The ikur chiyuv for otzah is when you put the object down. So it's not called, even if you normally hold yesh yediyah b'chatzi shir, but that's after you wrote one letter, which is half of the malacha. Over here, when you picked something up and you've moved something, but you haven't yet put it down, the idea of what you've done to that point is completely meaningless. Because you haven't really done Hotza'ah. You haven't even done half of Hotza'ah. You've done some of the conditions that are necessary in order to be chayiv for Hotza'ah, but you haven't even done half of Hotza'ah. What does that mean? Seems to assume that the real malacha is that you are now changing the shame of this object. This object was a cheftza that was munach b'rishas ha'yachid. What is the malacha? To make it an object that's munach b'rishas ha'rabim. If your realization comes before it's munach b'rishas ha'rabim, you haven't done the malacha at all. Yes, you may have transported it, you may have moved it, it doesn't matter. The malacha is the change of rishus. The Me'iri would therefore line up with Tosfos, that the malacha is defined by the change of Rishus, by the malacha being Rishus Rabbim. The Deya that he quotes first would line up better with the Rashba, that the malacha is not defined only by the change of Rishus, it's the whole transportation process. And therefore, if you stop in the middle, it's exactly like stopping to write in the middle of two letters, where you've done part of the malacha, but you haven't done all of it yet. Okay, so those are a couple of nafkaminas that he suggests. We're not going to do the third one because I want to get to the other part also. Now that we had that what I found to be an interesting chakira, but now let's move on to the other half, which is once we define hotzah as a malacha grua, l'may nafkamina. Does anything change about is there anything different about the way we treat the malacha of hotzah on account of the fact that it's a malacha grua? So there is a Mishnah Maseches Beitza. First, we'll start with the Hilchos Yamtuf Nafkaminas. There's a Mishnah Maseches Beitza Daf Yud Beis that tells us Machlokas Beishamay Beis Hillel. Beishamay says that you're not allowed to carry, let's say, a lulav, a sefer Torah, on Yamtuf into Rosh Hasharabim. And Beis Hillel says, yes, you are. It's permissible to carry your lulav in Rosh Hasharabim on Yamtuf. So the Gemara says, maybe, as a Havamina, maybe they're arguing whether the Isra of Hotzah applies at all to Yamtuf. Maybe they're arguing whether yesh eruv otzah liyomtov or not. That they're arguing yesh eruv otzah l'shabbos and ain eruv otzah liyomtov. Maybe the one shita holds, the Beis Hillel holds that it's mutter, just holds there's no such thing as otzah and yomtov. Beis Shammai holds that it's aser, holds there is such a thing as otzah and yomtov. That's quite a chiddush, no? To take an entire malacha and just say it doesn't, the whole thing doesn't apply in yomtov. There's no other malacha that we do that to. Even the malacha of Bishul, right, which we do on Yantif. It's not that the malach of Bishul doesn't apply. It's that it's mutter to do Bishul, it's Tzarech Ochel Nefesh. If you want to cook something that's not Tzarech Ochel Nefesh at all, and is not, doesn't fit in the category of mitoch somehow, if you could figure out such a thing, such a situation to cook in that way, so then you violate Bishul on Yantif. Every malacha applies to Yantif. It's ach, asher ye'achol ochel nefesh, ulevado yaseh lechem. The Torah just tells us, whatever is ochel nefesh, you're allowed to do.
So,
good. It's just a Havamina. You're right. And that's why it's not going to be an Havamina in the end. But how do we explain the Havamina? Says Tosfos, Ein Eir V'Hotzah L'Yomtev. Why would there be no Hotzah in Yomtev? The shiny Hotzah, the Gerua he Mikol Shar Melachos. Based on the concept that Hotzah is a Melacha Gerua. The fact that Hotzah is a lesser, qualitatively lesser kind of Melacha, that's what would make it not apply in Yomtev at all, according to this Havamina. And in fact, Tosa Rush says even more explicitly, "Vayinu time yishum de'ena chashuva malacha ubiyom tov ksiv lo sasa malacha." On Yantav it says, not just don't do what it does in what you do in the Mishkan, don't do malacha, and you can't call Hotzah malacha because it's nothing creative about Hotzah, it's a malacha grua. But again, not halacha lemaisa, like you pointed out very correctly, it's not halacha lemaisa nafkamina, because we don't paskin, we paskin in the end of the day that Hotzah does apply in Yantav, according to everybody, even according to the Beis Hillel. Why does Beis Hillel hold that you're allowed to carry a Sefer Torah, a lulav on Yantav? Because they hold to the concept of mitok shotul that if you're allowed to do certain malachas for tzarech ochel nefesh, we allow those malachas to be done even when it's not tzarech ochel nefesh, provided that there's a tzarech hayom ktsas, provided that there's somewhat of a tzarech hayom. That's the number one rule in malacha anyantiv that one needs to be familiar with if you're going to analyze any malacha anyantiv. People talk about showering anyantiv. So can you be mevashel the water to bathe anyantiv? So the Mishnah already talks about it. The Mishnah says, machlux b'sham b'sham. Beis Shammai says, no, you can't do it because Beis Shammai doesn't hold of mitoch. It's not ochel nefesh to wash your hands, face, and feet, so you can't do it. Beis Hillel says to wash your hands, face, and feet, to turn on hot water. Let's leave out showering for now. To wash your hands, face, and feet, on yom to turn out water, Beis Hillel says, okay, why? L'shitasam. Mitoch shehutra l'tzorech ochel nefesh, hutra mishalo l'tzorech ochel nefesh. But Beis Hillel says to wash your whole body, that you can't do. Why not? Because it's not even, it's not shavah l'kol nefesh. It's not something that everybody does on a consistent basis. How many people showered in those times on a consistent basis? They showered whatever, once every month if they were extremely healthy and, very, very mefunuk. So then it wasn't something that was that was considered to be shavah l'kol nefesh. But that's what's really behind that machloka. So that actually turns out not to be much of a nafkamina at all. So let's go on in Hilchos Yantav and see if maybe there's another nafkamina. Yeah.
With the mitoch
of, well, hotzah, because we allow hotzah, let's say I need food and I don't have any in my house, my neighbor has, and I want to take it from his house to his house, my neighbor's right there, I want to take it from his house to my house, so I'm allowed to do that because that's the tzorech ochel nefesh, so then I would be allowed to do it. I'd be allowed to do hotzah even when it's not ochel nefesh at all, provided that there's some sort of need on yantif for it. How do we define what's called ochel nefesh? So the Sefer Melachos Yom Tov, Oz Kuf Tes, Rabbi Sachs quotes, says like this: "V'nei kefia nirim erishonim, dekol melacha hanasis ba'ochel atzmo, kama afilu ktsira tchina varkada chodome. Anything you do on the food itself, you grind the wheat to make flour, you harvest the wheat, it's done on the food itself." That's called ochel nefesh itself. That's not only through mitoch. That's actual ochel nefesh. Because it's done on the food. The problem with this definition is that there is a Gemara Maseches Beitza where Beis Shammai holds, Ein molichin tabach v'sakin eitzel behema, v'lo behema eitzel tabach v'sakin. Let's say you need to shecht an animal in Yantif. If you want to eat meat, you want it to be fresh. You want to shecht an animal. So Beis Shammai holds, you're not allowed to carry a knife to a behema or a behema to the butcher shop, right? You're not allowed to carry in either direction. Beis Hillel says, yeah, you can. That's fine. That's ochel nefesh. So apparently, why is that ochel nefesh? How do we define ochel nefesh? Anything that's done on the food. So if I'm bringing the behema to the butcher, that's done on the food. But if I'm bringing the knife to the behema, how's that done on the food? It's not on the food at all. So says the Yamshel Shlomo in the first parak of Maseches Beitza, V'ikr taima mishum dahotzah malacha gruahi. V'im keinim hi l'tzorech hayom afilu b'lo ochel nefesh shari b'kol inyin v'kol shkein l'inyin ochel nefesh. So says the Yamshel Shlomo, hotzah has a different a different geder of what we're going to consider ochel nefesh, because it's a malacha gerua. Because hotzah already starts out as a lower level activity, as something that's not as significant an activity as all the other malachos, whereas every other malacha, in order for it to fall under the heter of ochel nefesh, it needs to be on the food itself. Hotzah will fit into the heter of ochel nefesh, even if the act is not done on the food itself. Because hotzah already is a lesser act. So we're going to be more willing to be makil for in the definition of ochel nefesh by hotzah. Phenomenal chiddush, and again, probably not agreed upon by everybody, but that's how the Marshal says. So that's our first nafkamina, at least according to some, nafkamina lemaisa, just in terms of how to define ochel nefesh. Another nafkamina. Shulchan Aruch and some tough side.
But the way we pass anyway, you don't mean to hold by mitoch. So that wouldn't really make a difference.
Meaning, why does it matter if it's ochel nefesh atzmo?
Right.
Well, let's say it's not shavah l'kol nefesh. Would you...
But the example we gave...
There's a question. Let's say if I have something that's ochel nefesh itself, does it have to be shavah l'kol nefesh? Or is it only when I'm using mitoch that it needs to be shavah l'kol nefesh? So let's... Right? Meaning it may not have to be something that everyone universally enjoys if I'm going to eat it. If it's something that's actual food itself. So it actually would turn out to be, depending how, that's a complicated sugya. Meaning it sounds very much from the Gemara and Ksuvos that even Ochel Nefesh itself has to fit the category of Shavu L'Kol Nefesh, but assuming like those Rishonim that it doesn't, this would be enough Kamina. That for if I plan on eating it, it doesn't need to be Shavu L'Kol Nefesh, it just needs to be Ochel Nefesh itself. Mm. Another possible enough Kamina. Shulchan Aruch Pasens in Tav Tzadi Ches. Even if it's a small animal, you want to eat veal, so you have to take this little baby animal. You're allowed to carry it on your shoulders. It can't walk itself. It's too weak to walk. Or with veal, they actually don't let it walk. They never want the animals to walk because then they develop muscles and then the meat is not as soft and delicious. I'm just torturing those little things, but anyway. So you put it on your shoulders. Even though you could have brought it yesterday, you're allowed to bring it on Yontif. Says the Magen Avraham, kiven the ochel nefesh atzmohu, since it's ochel nefesh itself. Va'afilu la'osun b'simen tav tzadihei, and even those who say it's a problem b'simen tav tzadihei. We're not so machmir in Israel. So a lot of references over here. So what's he talking about? The Ramah says in Tavkuf Yurches that a person could be motzi objects on Yantif as long as there's any need for them whatsoever, or if you're worried about some kind of loss, if there's going to be any sort of hefsid, you're allowed to be motzi objects on, you're allowed to do otzah and yantif. So let's say I'm afraid to leave my, I don't need my my machzor anymore, I'm afraid to leave it in shul though, because I'm afraid that when they change all the furniture around to make room for whatever, all the minyanim, I'm afraid something is gonna get lost, I'm afraid I'm going to lose something, I'm afraid it's going to get stolen, whatever it is I'm afraid of. If you're afraid of any sort of loss, that's enough to permit otzah. Right, any loss whatsoever would be enough to permit hotza'ah. So the problem is, there's a Mishnah Maseches Beitza, Daf Chaf Hei, where the Mishnah says, Behema mesukenes lo yishchot, elim kein yesh shuhus b'yom lechon mena kazayis tzli. If you have an animal that's going to die unless you shecht it, meaning you'd rather shecht it than have it die on you, because if it dies on you, then all the meat's worthless. If you shecht it before it dies, and it's not a treifa, it's just mesukenes, it's ill. So you could, if you shecht it, you could salvage all that meat. So says the Mishnah, you're not allowed to shecht it unless you're going to be able to eat a kezayis of that meat on Yontif itself. If it's already holding by the end of Yontif, and there's no way you're going to have time to shecht it, salt it, get the meat out, or you wouldn't salt it if you're roasting it, you would be able to get it away without malicha. There's no way you're going to be able to get the meat ready to be eaten while it's still Yontif, then forget it, then you're not allowed to do it. But wait a second. We just said that hotzah, whenever there's any sort of potential loss, that's called the tzorach hayom. Any loss of money is called the tzorach hayom, even a small loss. And you're allowed to do otzah for a small loss. So why is shechita any different? Why should you not be able to do shechita? Why is that not called the tzorach hayom? I'm going to lose the whole animal. An animal's worth a lot of money. It's a lot of meat. So why isn't that called the tzorach? So the Prima Gadim thinks that this is a raya to the Shitas HaRambam in Hilchos Yontif Perek Hei, that the whole concept of mitoch only applies to hotzah and havara, and we don't apply hotzah to shchita. We don't apply mitoch to shchita. There is no heter of mitoch to shchita. Okay, that's quite a chiddush. Melachas Yantav, however, suggests much more simply, based on our Yisod, a potential loss of money is only a tzorech for a malacha gerua, to be matir malacha gerua, to be matir hotza'a, but not to be matir a real significant malacha. Meaning, because hotza'a is a malacha gerua, we're more willing to define a tzorech as even just a potential loss of money. When it comes to other malachos, we won't define a loss of money as a real tzorech for any other malacha. So those are the three potential nafkaminas in Chizet. You don't like this one either?
No, I'm just trying to understand. So it's a malacha grua, but it's midoraisa. It's the same as any other malacha. You know, you would. It's a minimum. If you count the malachos, are 39.
Right, right.
One, so why are we saying that it should be different?
That it should be different.
Even though it's a malacha grua, the fact that I have said everything we're coming up with all nafkaminas, why? I'm just not understanding.
I think the way they're understanding it is that if the Torah goes out of its way to give me psukim about hotzah, the Torah itself is singling out hotzah. That hotzah, the mechayiv of hotzah is a different mechayiv.
But all I'm saying is, whatever the reason Hashem had, maybe you know that these malachas are asur, hotzah was included in the list.
It worked its way in from the other side. So since the mechayev is different, every other melacha that's on the list is you just look at what was done in the Mishkan. This one came through psukim. So maybe that's an indication that this is qualitatively different. So that concept of melacha grua maybe has ramifications. Again, you don't have to be sold on all the ramifications. I don't think any of them so far are anything that everybody agrees to. But let's take a look in Hilchos Shabbos. Let's take a look in Hilchos Shabbos, see if we can find nafka mina. There's a halacha, a din midaraisa called shvisas behema. Your animal's not allowed to do work for you on Shabbos. The Jewish animal's not allowed to do work on Shabbos either. So the Rishonim have a machlokas where that comes from. Rashi says, l'sas kol melacha v'kol behemtucha, we say, tosad man yanuach, sharcha v'chamarcha, fine. Pnei Yeshua in Shabbos suggests that stopping a behema from doing hotza'a is only a din d'rabbanan. Shvisas behema to stop an animal from plowing, to stop an animal from threshing, from doing all those things, it's din d'oraisa. Your animal's not allowed to do any of the real malachos. But a malacha otzah, says the Bnei Yeshua, is only a din d'rabbanan. Why? Because it's a malacha grua. It's Bnei Yeshua's chiddush. That once it's already one step down, it's already defined as a malacha grua, it's one step down from regular malacha, when you take it another huge notch down by having it not even be done by a human being, but by your animal, that's going to take it off the map, off the d'oraisa map, and it's only going to be asumid rabbanan. Now that is against the Rambam. That chiddush of the Pnei Yeshua is against an explicit Rambam. The Rambam, the 20th paragraph of Shabbos, starts out, asur lahotzi masal abeima b'shabbos, shenemar l'man yanuach sharcha v'chamarcha. That you're not allowed to have an animal be motzi for you on Shabbos. Why? Shenemar, it's a pasuk. So the Rambam clearly understands d'oraisa. Okay, one possible nafkamina in Hilchos Shabbos Pnei Yeshua. Another possible nafkamina is a chayyadam. Chayyadam in Hilchos Shabbos Klal Tes writes as follows. And chayyadam, now we're getting to real halachas farim. We're not just talking alumdus now. Right? Chayyadam is bottom line halacha lemaisa. He was makatzer as much as one could possibly be makatzer, a halacha sefer. Kalaosa malacha min amalachos ha'asuros midaraisa, kigon hamavashal b'Shabbos v'chein kulam. If a person does any malacha that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, im b'mezid aser lo li'olam uliacher mutal motzay Shabbos miyad. If you do malacha daraisa b'mezid on Shabbos, so you're never allowed to benefit from that malacha. You grill a delicious steak on Shabbos, you're never allowed to eat that steak. Other people are allowed to eat it right after Shabbos. Vim b'shogeg, if you did it b'shogeg, o sheshachach, or you forgot, o omer mutter, or you thought it was mutter, asur bo bayom l'kol adam, ula'erev mutter miyad afilu lo. So then, on Shabbos, even other people are allowed to have it even on Shabbos. You are only allowed to have it after Shabbos. Says the Chayyadam, v'dafka b'davar shenasem maisa b'guf hadavar, shenishtana mikimo shahaya. That's only on a malacha where you actually did something to the object, where you actually changed the object. Kimavasha l'chayotzi, but like cooking it. Avla motzi mirishul surusha shalonishtana hadavar mikamosha haya. Where you didn't change anything in the object when you do otza. In bishogeg mutra filu lo afilu bo bayom. If you did it bishogeg, it's mutra for you right away. V'im b'mezir asra afilu lacherim an motzoy Shabbos miyad. And if you do it b'mezid, it's also even for other people until Motzai Shabbos. So he says, the rules are going to change. Why? Why do the rules change for us? So this one, it's not just that, oh, it's a malacha grua, so it's less. What made it a malacha grua? Right? We saw that Arzurua that we started with. What makes it a malacha grua is that nothing happens to the object. The same book that it was when it was inside is the same book it is when it's outside. Now, what's the concept of not benefiting from a malacha? Is that I can't use this object, which is now qualitatively different because a malacha was done on it. But if the object isn't qualitatively different because the malacha was done in it, it's the same object, so then the whole rule of not being able to benefit from it, am I really benefiting from the malacha? It's still the same chefta that it always was. So it's considered less of a benefit. So that seems to be a nafkamina, chayadim accepts the halacha. Another possible nafkamina, the Tshuva's Beis Yitzchak is not sure whether there's a p'tur makalkal by hotzah. Let's say you do hotzah in a destructive way. Are you pater? Because one might argue that the fact that it's a malacha gerua, this is an interesting nafkamina, because over here it's going to turn out to be a chumra. That the whole p'tur of makalkal is only on a regular malacha. I mean, it is going to come out that if we count hotzah as a malacha, that's such a great chiddush that it tells us that we don't care how productive or unproductive the malacha is. Hotzah is a malacha. Haraya, that it's a malacha in the first place, and it's not the most productive malacha. You didn't really do anything. So we don't care if you're being productive or destructive in doing your malacha. So this is enough. It works in the other direction. That hotzah is going to be more machmir. He tries to bring a raya from a case, the Gemara in Shabbos talks about Daf Tzad Yalef, if you throw a kezayis of truma into a house that's tameh. Good. Hotzah can be violated by zrika, so you're doing achnasi. You're throwing from Rosh Hashanah into a bias that's tameh. So, but the truma becomes tameh. You've totally ruined it. It's mekalkel. So the Gemara says that that's aser, right? That we don't have a p'tur of mekalkel. The Gemara says that one is chayav for hotzah in that case. Where's the p'tur of mekalkel? So it must be that there's no din of mekalkel by hotzah. Now there are other ways around that raya. You could argue that that's mekalkel means mekalkel in the hotzah, not the fact that there's some spiritual issue with this. There's nothing wrong with the food. The food is still delicious. It just happens to be tameh right now, so there's a halachic cloud hanging over the food. But it's there's nothing, you know, physically wrong with the food. So you could argue with the raya, and the Beis Yitzchak himself wavers on the raya. But the idea is a very interesting idea, that the status of malacha gerua puts it in the other direction, that we should be more machmir because it's a malacha gerua. Let's go with one final nafkamina. We'll skip a little bit. One final nafkamina. The Shar Mitzion Ba'alacha, I came across, this is not quoted by Rabbi Sachs or Rabbi Asher Weiss, in Shar Mitzion Ba'alacha in Shabbos Daf Hem Beis, quotes the Chuvas Eretz Tzvi, the Kozhik Lover Gon, Vary Tzvi Frimmer. Chelik Aleph Simenayin Hei. Sheherich belimut zchus al haminhag lahutzi al yidei katan. I didn't know this was a minhag, but apparently it was. That people had the minhag, when there was no Eruv, they would have a child carry all the stuff for them. And that was the minhag Yisrael, and everyone always wondered, how are you allowed to do that? You're not allowed to have your kid do things for you. Generally speaking, people are mechanich the children not to violate Shabbos when it doesn't benefit them. But if the kids Chol Shabbos is going to benefit them, then the chinuch all of a sudden gets a little weaker in Chol Shabbos. But there was apparently a minhag that people would always have their child carry things for them on Shabbos. So the Kozhik Lover Gaon, I tried to read through the whole tshuva last night. I put some of the tshuva, I typed up some of the tshuva and put it in the Marum Komos here. Very fascinating chidushim he has. But he tries to justify this minhag. So it says Shar Mitzion Ba'alacha, V'tziyin l'divir tosos chulin yud beizim beizim maskel katan, demaisa katan chashav kemisasek. That anything a katan does is considered to be completely unmindful. Right? If a person walks into a room and just flips on the light on Shabbos, not because he forgot it's Shabbos, not because he didn't know that turning on a light on Shabbos is aser, just because he wasn't thinking. So he just wasn't thinking at all. That's called misasek. Anything a child does is called misasek. V'sham kasavnu, di'afalgav dekaimil and dali dey maisa yeshtan machshava. Even though through a maisa a child does have machshava, mikol makom kasra tells dimras levitibai dainu dafka b'maisa gedola v'chashuva v'lo b'maisa gerua v'otzav imalacha gerua. So he says maybe when a child does something on purpose, it's not called misaseik because the maisa, the fact that he's doing a maisa, gives it a certain chashivus to it. But maybe that's only when it's a real maisa, when it's a qualitative maisa. But when the maisa is only hotza, it's a malacha gerua, where he didn't really do that much to the object, maybe then it's not enough to give it that same sense of chashivas. The Kashuk lover has his own wild chiddush in terms of why it's okay to have a katan carry something. He redefines the malacha entirely. I left it in the Ma'ar Mekamos if you want to take a look, but it's a completely different definition of a malacha. All right, Mr. Shem, next week we'll probably do a lighter topic, I guess.
But that's why he's saying the minhag was.